In the movie called The Renaissance Man, Danny DeVito plays the part of Bill Rago. Now, Bill Rago is falling on some challenging times. He's without a job. He's divorced and everything else. And he keeps going back to the unemployment office, or employment office, depends how you look at it, in order to look for employment. And finally, something special happens. And I just wanted you to sit back and kind of get a feel what Danny DeVito does. Do I turn on? Okay.
Hi, Beverly.
Oh, good to see you.
How are the kids?
Great. Everything's great.
Good.
How's your daughter?
She hates my guts.
Surprise, surprise. You know, it's strange. I don't like you either. Yet somehow I'm going to miss you. We found you a job. There you go. What do you think?
I can't do this.
Sure you can.
No. Beverly, you got the wrong file. When have I ever been a teacher?
Look, you got a master's degree. That means you can teach.
No, it doesn't. No, it only means hypothetically that I could.
Come on, Bill, now it's a good job. 6 weeks, a decent salary, and you get to live there.
Beverly, I'll get my head blown off. Do you know how many kids carry guns to school these days?
In this case, all of them. I guess you didn't get to the where part.
Yes, sir.
May I help you?
Yeah, I need directions to the Army Education Center.
AEC, that's building 2310. Park your vehicle in the green zone, step inside, get a pass.
Listen, I'm running a little late. Can I drive somewhere?
Yes, sir. You can drive to the green zone and get a pass.
Look, I'm not even in the Army. I just have to make...
Park in the green zone, step inside, get a pass.
Right. Green zone, inside pass. Probably get along good with my ex-wife. Excuse me, I'm looking for the Army Education Center. Captain Tom Murdoch.
Captain Murdoch's not at the AEC. Captain Murdoch's at the ARC.
ARC.
Looking for Captain Murdoch?
Yeah.
The AEC is building 2310. You want building 4475.
4475.
Look, here's what you do. You go right here. Take another right at the PX. Go half a click till you see the DPTM center. Then take a left.
PX.
If you hit the RFPC, you've gone too far.
DPTM RFPC. Can I buy a vowel?
I don't know about you, but I've never been in the Army. Maybe some of you haven't either. But sometimes we've been in these situations where we're totally lost. We don't know where to go. And sometimes when people stumble into a church for the very first time, they're feeling kind of like Danny DeVito. Where do you go? Where do you get coffee? And sometimes we use all kinds of code language, like the vestibule or the narthex. I've still been trying to figure that out for a long time. And we went to one church, and we always kept referring to the ALC. What was the ALC kind of thing? And finally, I discovered it's the Adult Learning Center. And so we have all these types of things going on, and we feel a little bit lost. And that's why it's very challenging to come to a church for the very first time when you don't know what the culture is. What I've learned in church ministry is that the only way our church will grow is for new people to come and then come back again and again. And to some degree, that determines on how we respond to people that we do not know. And that's why this morning I want to speak about, do I know you? And if you have a copy of God's Word, electronic, paper, whatever you have, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, to the very, very last chapter, chapter 13. And what we find is that the author of the book of Hebrews is wrapping up this rather lengthy letter. And what he does, he gives us 9 key concepts in chapter 19 on what I call a dynamic, a vibrant church. And that's why I call it the whole 9 yards. Now, last week we started out by looking at one of the first concepts was loving one another. And we kind of fanned the flame because that's one of the strong points of Elam, that we love one another. And we saw that it's a feeling, it's an attitude, it's a disposition, it's a skill, all those kinds of things. And we challenge you to kind of learn your love language and display that in proper ways, or sometimes even to learn how to speak a different language than you're normally comfortable with. Well, today, number 2, we're going to come to loving those who are outside the church. We do good to those who are inside the church because they have a relationship. What about those who stumble in for the first time or second time or third time and don't really know the routine on how to operate? And that's where we're going to focus in this morning. Now, as we continue this sermon series in Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to move into loving those who suffer. That's the compassion part. Also, we're going to look at honoring marriage and contentment and clinging to Jesus. We're going to look at worship, leadership, and we'll wrap it up with prayer over the course of the next 2.5 months or so. But meanwhile, we come to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, and we find that the author says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers." For by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Wow. Very interesting. Now, I struggle with this New International Version translation of the word entertain. In our culture, entertainment is about singing a song, dancing a little jig, or telling a joke. That's not what the biblical author was referring to, because there's other meanings of entertaining. I'm thinking he's referring to that of hospitality. Do not forget to be hospitable to people you do not know. And strangers is actually those who you've never met before. And the word really in the literal language is loving strangers. And what he's encouraging us to do is learn the process of loving people we do not know. Now, in northern South Africa, we have the Natal tribe. They have an interesting expression when they greet people. When you're walking along the way in the marketplace, on the road or whatever, they would say, "Sawubona," which literally means in English, "I see you." And then you'd respond, "Sikhona," "I am here." In their culture, a person is a person when other people are present. They would never imagine in American culture that you can walk by somebody and never acknowledge their presence. But we do it all the time in our culture and think nothing of it. But yet we're learning that we need to entertain strangers and be hospitable to them. Now, imagine with me someone who does not know Jesus as their Savior, and God's work in their life, and somehow, and they think, "Well, maybe I should go to church." And sometimes they're thinking, this is where God hangs out. Now, we know God doesn't live in this physical building. But they don't understand that fully, so they come stumbling in on Sunday morning thinking, if I'm going to get in contact with God, I need to show up at a worship service like this. And no one connects with them. And their mind and thoughts, if we do not connect with them, God does not care about connecting with them. That's where we come back to Hebrews 13, verse 2. Do not forget to entertain strangers. And so many times in our churches, we come in, we're preoccupied, we're busy, we're trying to take care of the kids, we're trying to find a good place to sit. Someone sat in our favorite spot. We don't want to go and ask them to move. And so all these types of things go on, and we just look past people we do not know. And I believe that the author of Hebrews is teaching us to be hospitable, to love strangers, because loving strangers is a Christian attitude. It's a Christian virtue that we need to emphasize. We find that Jesus taught this. Even in Matthew chapter 25, he says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in." Jesus understands the value and encourages us in the whole realm of hospitality. In Acts chapter 27, we have a documentation of the Apostle Paul moving through the Mediterranean Sea headed to Rome. Now, when they get somewhere in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, we find they run into a massive mother of a storm. And for 2 weeks, they were trying to survive with no Dramamine. Finally, the storm blows them onto a little tiny island. They didn't really know where they were because they lost their GPS in the whole process. In this complex chapter, which we find the most complex explanation of ancient maritime practices, we find that the Apostle Paul lands on this little island. And notice in the first two verses, "Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was Malta." They didn't have a clue. And then he tells us in verse 2, "The islanders showed us unusual kindness." That's hospitality. "They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and it was cold." Now, I want you to notice that the islanders on Malta were not believers in Jesus Christ. It's part of human decency. How much more to those of us who have trusted Jesus should we show unusual kindness to people who come into our midst? This last week, we were remembering what happened in 9/11, 18 years ago. One of the stories that comes out on that, on September 11th, 2001, there was a plane flying from Frankfurt, Germany, all the way to Atlanta, Georgia. Partway across the Atlantic, the pilot received a communication from Delta. And the communication said briefly, "All airways over the continental United States are closed. Land ASAP at the nearest airport. Please advise." Now imagine being a pilot and hearing that message. So they pull out their map, discover that the closest airport is 400 miles behind them. So they have to back the plane up 400 miles to a place called Gander, Newfoundland. Now, unless I miss my guess, Gander, Newfoundland is probably not one of the spots on your bucket list to visit before God takes you home. But that was the closest place, so they turned around. By the time they arrived, there were 20 airplanes at the international airport in Gander, Newfoundland. By the time that everything finished, there was 53 airplanes on that airway. They just had to park them all over the place. Now, the pilot didn't know what was going on. Finally, around 6 o'clock in the evening, they got communication that they're going to spend the whole night on the airplane. How many times do you like to spend the night on the airplane? 10:30 the following morning, there became a whole series of school buses. And what they discovered is that this little island city, or Gander, Newfoundland, had 10,400 people. With 53 planes, the population doubled because there was 10,500 people. So what they did is they began to conscript schools and lodges and facilities and halls and churches and everything else. All the high school students were laid off school, helped to facilitate all this. All the school buses came to all those airplanes and began to ship them all over that island in order to put these people up. They came off the planes, went through customs, quote unquote. They had no suitcases. That was all still below the plane. And they began to put them in homes and halls and everything else. Finally, they were given the clear signal they could go back to the airplane, and they continued their journey. Most of those people on Delta flight was in a place called Lewisport. There was a pregnant woman on their flight. They put her right across the street from a facility that could handle that. There was a dentist. They had laundromat facilities. All those things were doing. That's what you call hospitality. That's what you call loving strangers. Interesting enough, God calls us to love strangers. I've learned over the years that people come to church for three basic reasons. Number one, something is missing. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's an illness. Sometimes it's a crisis. Sometimes it's an emptiness, knowing that they have a God-shaped vacuum and they need God to fill that. Sometimes people come to church because something is broken. Marriage fell apart. Family fell apart. Job fell apart. Going through all these kinds. And they stumble in wanting to be healed. A third reason is something is new. A new town, new city, new job, new marriage. Something is happening and it's new. And they say, I need to connect with some folks. That's why we need to love strangers. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, do not forget to entertain strangers, to love those whom you do not know. Then he follows through with the second part of the verse, saying there is a blessing when you step out of yourselves and meet people you do not know. For by so doing, he says, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Wow. I don't think we're going to be entertaining angels too much, but that's the idea. Some have. And what the author of the book of Hebrews does is he goes back to the father of the Jewish people, namely Abraham, and tells us a story that takes place in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, if I have found favor in your eyes, and Lord, do not pass your servant by, let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree, which is part of Near Eastern hospitality. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried to the tent to say, Sarah, quick, he said, get three seahs of fine flour, knead it, and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it a servant who hurried to prepare it. And then he brought some curds and milk and yogurt and the calf, veal cutlets, had been prepared and set it before them. That's what you call hospitality. It was modeled by the father of the Jewish people. Now, what we find out is that two of those individuals were angels who were going down to Sodom and Gomorrah and check out things. One of them, we're not really told, but looking through our New Testament glasses, we perceive that it might have been what we call a pre-incarnate form of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came. And that's what he refers to as entertaining strangers, being hospitable without even realizing at the time. Now, you remember those Maltese islanders when the Apostle Paul and the whole ship stumbled onto their shore? What they did was they received all this unusual kindness. Paul turned around and healed the chief leader's sick father. There was a blessing that happened because they were kind. You remember Delta Flight 14 or 15 that had all those passengers? They were parked all over the runway in Gander, Newfoundland. Finally, they made their way back, and we find that the plane took off to Atlanta, Georgia. En route, one of the passengers says, "Hey, we have received so much kindness from these people. I would suggest we set up a scholarship fund for these high school students who facilitated us in so many ways." So they sent a sheet around the plane. Everyone signed up and how much money they would give. $14,000 was raised. Boom. Like that. One of the passengers was a medical doctor. He says, "I'll double it." They had $28,000. Then someone else said, "I would like to refer this to Delta corporate offices and see if they would like to give." They did. They raised $1.5 million, which funded 134 high school students in various scholarship forms. Now, did those high school students realize that was going to happen? No. There was a special blessing because all of this was going on. And that's why the author of the book of Hebrews says, do not forget to love and entertain, be hospitable to strangers. For by so doing, some have entertained strangers without even knowing it. Maybe be an angel sitting right next to you right now. Well, that is an incredible part of the whole nine yards. And part of churches that grow and thrive and are vibrant, they know how to welcome people. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to wrap up with 3 points of application and drive this message home for us. Number one, I want you to observe caution. We're not blind that we live in a challenging day when you have to be very careful about other people. We understand that. We need to be sensitive about a woman approaching a man or a man approaching a woman. We understand all those things. And so there's a place that we need to be cautious in understanding all those things, types of situations. But I am trying to nudge you just a little bit out of your comfort zone. Because in Christianity, there is an element of risk. There's nothing really sure, lest our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have that in perspective. But I'm here to kind of challenge you. And point number two is I want to challenge you to befriend a stranger this week. Maybe someone's new at work. You need the first one. Maybe say, "Hey, let's have coffee together. Let's get together and get to know them a little bit." Maybe someone's new at your school and they're a little bit lost and they don't have friends. You could be that friend. Perhaps you're in the apartment complex or your community. You can be the first one to go over there and say, "Hey, I'm from the neighborhood. We just want to say thank you for..." And start a relationship moving in that whole situation. You see, the gospel always moves from the known to the unknown. And we have to jump a hurdle of, "I don't know you." And so somewhere along the point, we have got to jump over that and begin to look for an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you're familiar with Dennis Prager. He's a conservative talk show and everything else. And he's a Jewish man. He's not a Christian and stuff. And he has spoken on college campuses for the last 40 years. One of his interesting observations, especially over 40 years of doing this, is that many times he would ask college students, if there was a stranger who was drowning and your pet who was drowning, which one would you save first? Well, what he's discovered that over 40 years, the numbers are changing. more and more of these students would save their favorite pet. And he asked the question, well, why? You know the answer. I love my pet, and I don't know this person. And Christianity is calling us to a new ethic of relationship and moving into relationships with people. And that's why point number three, I'm challenging you to be welcoming here at church. A number of years ago, our daughter delivered twin granddaughters, and so we went down to Southern California to spend some quality time and helping out and everything else. While we were there for two Sundays, I went to three worship services. I'll let you figure out how I did that, but anyway, I did. I'm a glutton to go to churches. One of the churches was a rather large church. In fact, their parking lot was a parking garage. When I finally finished parking the car, I didn't know how to get out of the garage. And once I got out of the garage, I didn't know where to go. No one was there to show me the way. Now, eventually, when I showed up at the worship center, someone handed me a bulletin, sat down. No one talked to me. All by myself. Another time, went to another church. Again, we parked way too far away because I wasn't sure kind of what the situation was. Ended up coming through a back door of the church and trying to wander away through all this hallway to come to a place. Again, no one was there to help me. And I remember feeling kind of like Bill DeVito. That's Bill Rego, Danny DeVito. I went to a third church, large church. Drove in not knowing where I'm supposed to park, where I'm supposed to go to the worship service. And there right in front of me on the street was a person with Mickey hands. You know what Mickey hands are? Yeah. Keep in mind, this is Southern California. They can get away with Mickey hands down there. And they were going... I said, thank you, Jesus. I knew which way to go. And those people are very, very important. Now, we have people who have the ministry of greeting here. And I just want to say, thank you so much. It is really, really important. Back in my earlier days, when I would go to a church, one of the first meetings I would have is with the greeters and the ushers and so forth, to train them on the whole art of hospitality. But I've learned that you can train your greeters, but I need to train the whole congregation as well. And one of the things I would tell people is don't ask, are you new here? I just crossed that out. And many times you come to churches, oh, are you new here? No, I've been here 6 months. Oh, excuse me. And you feel like a heel, you feel like you want to crawl underneath a seat and everything else. Well, if you don't say, are you new here, what do you say? That's a good question. I usually try to say, I don't think we have met. My name is Steve. What's yours? And we launch into a conversation. And all of a sudden, it begins to move forward. Now, as I mentioned, I'm very appreciative of our greeters, and I never want to say anything negative about them. But keep in mind, sometimes when we're standing at a door and we're shaking hands and welcoming people, there is an element of cannedness to it. You know, that's their job. I don't want to stop that. But there's something very special when someone who sits near you introduces themselves. Because then you say, oh, wow, they didn't have to do that. It's not their job. And sometimes that new person can spend some quality time with you, and you begin to realize, wow, that's the most friendly church I've ever been to. And all I talked to was one person. But for that one person, you represented the whole church situation. I remember a couple years ago, we had sold our house in the Bay Area in California. We moved everything into storage. I sold one house. I sold one car, excuse me. Shipped the other car to Hawaii because we're going to be an intentional interim in Hawaii. And I was feeling a little bit nervous about this. Going to a church I'd never been to before. Everything we owned was stored away, and we were going over with two suitcases each. Now, the Sunday before we left on this adventure, I sat down in a church. It was a large church situation, and there was some time to kind of connect with folk. And the person sitting right next to me, he wasn't a pastor, but had done pastoral work. And he says, "Where are you from?" "Well, I'm from nowhere." And I began to tell him what happened. And God moved in his heart, and he prayed for me on that last Sunday. And I will never forget it, because I was lost, and I needed someone to touch me in a spiritual way. And God provided that. And that's why the person in the chairs has such a vital ministry. Now, sometimes you may be the person who is screaming on the inside spiritually, and you need someone. We understand that. Others of you, this is an opportunity for you to connect with other people. Now, when the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Rome, he gives a whole series of what we call pithy staccato exhortations. One of those says, practice hospitality. You can memorize it as fast as you say it. Now, I've got a very simple mind. When I hear practice hospitality, I'm thinking, well, we should practice hospitality. Now, we have a band up here that plays. They practice every Sunday. We appreciate that. Some of you are on athletic teams. You practice. Some of you have instruments that you practice. And I think we need to practice hospitality. Now you're getting nervous. And see, when new people come into our midst, they're not necessarily looking for a friendly church, because many churches build themselves, "We are the friendliest church in town." They're looking for friends. And the person that you may sit down next to needs to be that friend, or at least the friend for the moment. And see, the only way our church will grow is if people come for the very first time and then come back again. And that's where we have a part in that. So what I'm going to do with you is we're going to practice hospitality. Now, I just want you to kind of stay seated for a moment here. I'm going to walk through some instructions. And then when I say go, we're going to have pandemonium here. It'd be sanctified pandemonium. So what I'm going to challenge you to do is to stand at the right time, not now. Now, some of you, a little bit weak on your feet, you're not able to stand, you just stay seated. We understand that. We don't want you to be uncomfortable. We don't want to knock you over or whatever else, because we're going to be some moving around. You stay where you're seated, and someone will come to you. Is that okay? Okay, because we need to kind of walk around a little bit here. Number two, I want you to smile. Can we practice smiling? You know, we all look better when we smile. It works wonders. Now, number three, and here's the key. I want you to find someone you do not know. Now, in a church our size, you may know just about everybody. So I've added the little codicil, or know well. Got me covered? Because we don't have enough people we don't know, period. So look for someone you do not know well. And I want you to exchange names. Don't ask, "Are you new here?" "My name is..." And then attempt to learn one thing about the other person. an interest. If they've got a Seahawk jersey, obviously they like the team. You know, so you try to connect maybe an employment or whatever situation and say, hey, that's good, you know. And you learn something about the other person. We're not going to give you enough time to learn everything. Now, number six, and this is, I sometimes dream because I live in this perfect world sometimes, is I want you to introduce this new person to someone else, if possible. Sometimes we can't always do it. But it's really nice if you introduce and say, hey, you like this? I know someone else who likes this. And you move forward. And then number seven, I want you to do it every single Sunday without fail. So what we're going to do is you're going to turn you loose. And I'm going to give you a little bit of time. And then I'll type out Brian, and he'll come up and start playing some music, and we can kind of get back into our seats, and then we'll wrap up with some closing songs as we celebrate the Lord. So, you got the instructions? I've been clear? Okay, let's go for it. Let's just have what we call back in grade school days, basket upset. Find someone you don't know or know well. You know, you did really, really good. Did anyone meet someone they did not know before? Oh, yeah, lots of people. Okay, excellent. Isn't it fun every week to come and meet some new people and say, Lord, this is part of your family? Sometimes I can be touched on a very special way of meeting people. While our band comes up, let me just close in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you with this encouragement ringing in our ears to be loving towards people we do not know. And Lord, we don't understand your divine linkage, but sometimes we can be a cog in the wheel to bring people to faith in you and to an eternal relationship. We just never know. And so, Lord, we leave that all in your hands. But we thank you for every person who has come here. We want them to feel significant, that they're loved, and that you love them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.